I did speak to three times today, did not make it on air. And in fact, I'm hoping that he will be available at a later date. His participation in the show would have been it was important. And I'm brokenhearted here that it didn't come off as I had planned. You know, sometimes you just have to make lemonade out of lemons. So, but Cynthia's work was great. And we'll be right back after these messages to take phone calls.
Assalamu alaikum, listeners. This is Usman Ahmed from Sure Flywild Travel. Our Ramadan Umrah package, departure 26th of August from Johannesburg on Etihad Airlines, returning back into Johannesburg on the 24th of September, staying in Makkah Mukarramah at the Carmel Palace from the 27th of August up to the 10th of September, and staying in Medina at the Sufra Al-Huda Hotel from the 10th to the 23rd of September. The complete package, sharing two in a room, will cost 35,000 rand per person, including flights and accommodation. For any further information on these packages, you're welcome to contact Bricks in Pretoria, 012-374-2041, or Usman in Cape Town on 021-761-5044.
All businesses, big or small, let us help you move your load, big or small. Motor Deal Truck and Commercial have a large variety of commercials and heavy-duty vehicles for all your needs at incredible prices. Trade-ins welcome. Trucks and commercials, big or small. Contact Ismail at 016-421-3665. Remember Motor Deal Truck and Commercial at 016-421-3665.
This is CII. You're listening to The French Connection.
We're back, ladies and gentlemen. Top of the hour, 10 o'clock here in central France. My name is Daryl Bradford Smith, and it's great to be with all of you for this this second hour. We are opening up the phone lines for comments and questions. But, you know, I had hoped to go further than an hour with Cynthia and with Representative Paul Findlay, and I will give you an idea of Mr. Findlay's work here. He has written a book called, and this is an important book, called They Dare to Speak Out. And it was roundly savaged by the Zionist Jewish controlled press. But when people read the book, they knew that this man was being an honest and genuine speaker of the truth. And he has been savaged continually since his leaving of Congress back in 1983. He also wrote a wonderful book on Islam and the kindness that he found when he visited the Islamic states in the Middle East. The name of the book he wrote was Silent No More, and it's called Confronting America's False Image of Islam. And it was reviewed by a man named Riyad Abd Dakarim. I'm not pronouncing that correctly, but can find that that review on WRMEA.com, WRMEA.com. It's a glowing review on that. And we have a caller up there. Who am I speaking with?
Hello, how are you, Daryl?
Who am I speaking with?
Hello, Aisha. This is Aisha.
Hi, Aisha. How are you?
Fine, and you?
Very well, thank you.
You know, Daryl, you know why are they afraid of Islam? This crooks that we are talking about, they are afraid because it's written in our Quran that these are the people that have been cursed by God, and they're going to be leading the world astray. And they are really at the moment succeeding. But the only person who's ever going to succeed to dethrone these people is God alone. So we must try and go back to our roots, back to God, and to start praying very hard and come back to the right path, because they have they have finished our children with the cell phone. We have no control of our kids anymore, of our society, of our spouses, and they are destroying us from inside.
Well, I believe, Aisha, and I thank you for that comment, but I believe that in this world, people, you know, many people believe in this world that God works through people. He empowers people. The Quran will tell you that the Prophet Muhammad was empowered by God, and as Jesus Christ, as all of the people that religion, the two great religions of the world talk about, were empowered by God. And so, what I would believe if I were faithful is that God works through you, Aisha. He works through me. He works through Cynthia McKinney.
But then
he works through so many of us. And we,
Daryl,
yeah.
God gives us a solution. And he told us, beware of these people. And we have become lax in our, bearing of them. And we've fallen into their traps. It's going to be very hard to come out. And we have to turn and enlighten people. This is what is happening. Beware of them.
Well, yes, but it will be hard. Nothing valuable in life
is easy. Nothing's
easy. And so when we are successful, which we will be, successful.
That is a promise in the Quran that we will be.
I promise you this day that I will never rest until, with my last breath, battling these people and going against the crimes and their horrors.
You know,
and the truth
is, 9/11 story that they said that the Muslims did it, and they put those planes into those buildings, which I don't believe at all, because if they did do it, what's stopping the others to carry on? Why did
No. Aisha, nobody believes that anymore. And the fact of the matter is, if you can get anybody to look into the facts, even for a moment, that is no longer the belief that the general public has.
You know,
and if you remember in the beginning of this broadcast, I talked about what the Italian Prime Minister said about 9/11. It was done by the Mossad and CIA in order to create hatred against Islam and create war. And it's exactly what took place. And so we all know this today, and we've even identified the culprits, the criminals, the people involved. So that's kind of like old information. Where we are today is understanding the larger conspiracy.
Yeah.
How did they get in charge of our medical system? How did they get in charge of our food production? How have they become controllers of our air traffic and our airlines and bus service and water systems and roadways and big corporations and gold mines and all of these industries that they are controlling? These are the things that we need to talk about now, because what they did by 9/11 was awaken a giant against them, and that giant is the world's population hungering for truth. And if you want to have your faith in your God, God is empowering people around the world to fight against these criminals by learning the truth.
But
this is the empowering
thing.
We have
complete faith in it. That's the promise in the Quran. We just have to have patience, and we have to become self-sufficient, and we have to become aware and make others aware.
That's right. You have to do the heavy lifting.
Yes, and
no good. No good act. Yes. You just don't sit back and let
no,
and
you
let,
don't sit back.
Let. Right. You
yes.
can't sit back. You have to allow that the work needs to be done by individuals, all of us. You,
take
Aisha, me.
Take all your thoughts out of your life, and you start thinking clearly to
right.
win with them.
Well, thank you so much for your call, Aisha. I appreciate it very much.
Bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, you know, the battle that we're fighting, is winnable, and it's winnable in my lifetime. And I'm a 52-year-old man, and I always have felt since starting this investigating and work that we could win this fight, that we would be able to bring the truth to the world. And we are watching it happen. Support for Israel in America is falling dramatically. The world is waking up to 9/11 truth. They're waking up to the Levon affair and to the USS Liberty attack. And they're waking up to the lies about the invasion of Iraq and what happened in Palestine and what's going on in Mumbai. They're waking up to the fact that General Motors is being stolen by Zionist criminals, and that the Federal Reserve is acting criminally on behalf of its Zionist masters. All of these facts are coming out and being learned by so many millions of people around the world. And because the urgency is there in the minds of the public, they're telling others. So it is exponentially being circulated around the globe. When we reach a critical mass, ladies and gentlemen, which we are fast approaching, it will be time for the world to take the action against this crime network and dismantle it permanently and jail the criminals and dismantle the system that they have put in place. Do we have a caller up?
Hello.
Who am I speaking with?
Hello, it's Abdullah from Durban.
Well, Abdullah, it's great to have you on the air with the French Connection. What's your question tonight for me?
Two things. There's a very good scholar by the name of James Petras.
Yes.
You might have heard of him.
I have.
And he, you know, I've read some of his articles. One of his articles, he's titled it, Obama is the first Jewish president of the United States. And he quotes one of the leading Zionists who says that because of all the Zionists who are surrounding him. And
yes.
His thesis, you know, Petras' thesis generally is that it's not just the lobby which is doing the work there, but it's a whole configuration. He calls it the ZPO, the Zionist Power Configuration, which is made up of the lobby, their power in the control of the economy, the control of Hollywood, the people who are in politics, and the media. All of this put together, he says, gives them that kind of power. It might be a good idea, I don't know what you think of him, to invite him sometime.
Well, I think it would be great. Now, we often talk about ZOG, or Zionist Occupied Government.
Yeah.
And the reason we talk about ZOG, Zionist Occupied Government, is because if you examine the people behind the French Republic's government, you'll find the same forces. You'll find the same forces behind the British government, as well as the German government, as well as the Spanish.
Yeah.
And sad to say, the money people behind many African governments, including South Africa, are the same forces. You'll find people that are prominent within your mining industry are all Zionists and all criminal affiliated, and they are filling the coffers of politicians in South Africa with the means necessary to control the public. And that has been going on for a long time, as well as what's going on in Kenya, with Sudan, with all over the northern African countries. So my point is this, is that ZOG, the Zionist Occupied Government, is not just referencing Canada or America or Australia, but it is a worldwide phenomenon.
True. That's true, yeah.
Yes.
And the other thing I wanted to mention is, you know, you said that people are coming to know about 9/11. My understanding is that although they are coming to know about 9/11, the Zionists are also now guiding that discontent towards... What they are doing is, a lot of Zionists, it seems, have established 9/11 truth websites. And what they are now, for example, doing is that they know the truth is coming out, but they want to guide the truth in another direction away from themselves. So, for example, Fahrenheit 9/11, you know, the producers, I think the people who financed it, were some Greensteins. And that one day, nothing about Israel, nothing about Zionists, but it tends to shift the thing towards the Arabs again. I know what you think about that.
Well, we know that there are a lot of people out there that are obfuscators and liars, and one of them that comes to mind who's very big in the United States and Europe, his name is Alex Jones. And what we find, ladies and gentlemen, is that people that follow Alex Jones are being told that it's a British... the British conspiracy, or it's the Illuminati, blah, blah, blah. Basically, they're pushing people away from the truth. And Alex Jones has a following in America of a million-plus people, and worldwide people listen to him. And he has worked for many, many years to disguise the participation of the Mossad and Israel and Zionist influence in the United States. Never talks about Zalkheim and his influence. What has happened recently... And this is good news for us. Because his credibility was beginning to be challenged by so many people because he was not telling the truth, even this liar is having to tell the facts. He is still working for the crooks, but because the facts are coming out everywhere, in order for him to stay in the game and make believe he's still credible, he has to tell the facts on his own game. And, of course, all of his people that work for him, a guy named Burmis who works with him, are all Jewish and all Zionist affiliated, and all deny Israeli participation in the crime. But recently they've had to shift. And, of course, ladies and gentlemen, this is good news for us because even the crooks themselves are having to tell on themselves in order to keep their deception alive. And this man, Alex Jones, is one of the biggest deceivers in the marketplace. And as we speak, you know, he's, like I said, he's having to tell on his own self. We're going to still urge people to call in if they've got a question for me, especially about my guest, Cynthia McKinney, or about the books that I described to you, or any of the evidence that has come forward on 9/11 or other things. I want you to all to know that as we reach further into this conspiracy together, what's happening here is that there is a, as I spoke before, a critical mass beginning. Let's talk a little bit about what that means. There comes a point when information becomes so ingrained in someone that they take it for granted it's true. And because the facts have been presented in such a measured and consistent way by many sources, not just the French Connection, but by many sources, people are beginning to understand almost intuitively that this Zionist-controlled conspiracy is factual and it can be defeated. And those are the two things that we need. We need to understand that it is real and that we can beat it. And what Aisha said before was that that in her religious text that this is a conspiracy that God is going to smite. However, what I'm telling you is that we as a world community from all different walks of life and all different religions, Christianity, Islam, even Judaism and others that don't want Zionism criminality to rule us are coming together. It's been my hope from the beginning to act as a uniter here on CII, as well as in the United States to the listeners and Europe to the listeners, and bring my best information to you so that we could stand together against these forces. And my dream is working. The numbers on my website, IamTheWitness.com, are beginning to reflect larger audiences. It's reflecting many more visits to my audio files and to the news items that we place. The point being, ladies and gentlemen, is that this information is pouring out, not leaking out in dribs and drabs, but rather it's a torrent, and it's going to become a tsunami very soon. Now, that doesn't mean this crime network is going to roll over for this to happen. Certainly, they are going to try and resist the facts coming out, and it may even include personal or physical attacks on me, which I believe would spell the end of their organization were there to be something to happen to Darrell Bradford Smith, because too many people know what I do and that I am a prime target for silencing, and it would end up backfiring in ways that they don't even imagine as right now. So what they've tried to do is use counter propaganda to stop my message. It's failed incredibly, and I believe that we're going to start seeing this erosion turn into a torrent. So what we're going to do is take a final break. We missed our first break here, ladies and gentlemen, and we got a caller just on here, but I want to give my advertisers one more chance to give their third little spot here, and then we'll come back and take calls just after these messages.
You're listening to the only global Islamic station, Channel Islam International. You're listening to CII, the world's first global Islamic station. CII, it's where the world comes together to share their views.
Some wonder at the beauty of winter. Others face the chilling reality. Once again, winter has made itself at home, and thousands are left to face this harsh season in utter destitute, with only 80 rand a blanket or 250 rand a winter warmth pack. You can help Africa Muslims Agency assist those in need this winter. Contact Africa Muslims Agency on 011-834-8685 or 6, or make your contribution online at africamuslimsagency.co.za. Africa Muslims Agency, the agency that cares.
You're listening to the French Connection on CII.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're back. Great to have you all with me here for this last about 40 minutes of broadcast here. And I do believe I have a caller on the line. Is there someone on the line waiting to speak?
Yes, there is, Daryl. It's me, Thomas, in Sweden.
Hi, Thomas. Great to have you call in. I I apologize for not getting Mr. Findlay on, as I had promised. He was supposed to be on, and, of course, I received a message from him that he wouldn't be able to make it, and it kind of was a tough one to swallow, but things happen, you know.
Well, I was praying as hard as I could there that nothing else had happened to him.
Well, one never knows, Thomas, but you know what? I'm always going to be optimistic about these people. You know, if they were to do something like that, as I mentioned just a moment ago, to someone like myself or even to Mr. Findlay or others, I think it would explode in their face. This is certainly not something that that people would take lying down, I don't believe.
There you said something that I called in about. You know I have a history with the New York City Fire Department.
Yes.
And you know sometimes when I talk to you privately, I still get that terrible lump in my throat when I think about my buddies. All right?
Yes. Yeah.
This time they pulled one stunt too many because they took down the World Trade Center and killed all those good firemen and good cops and poor civilians in the age of the Internet, and we were watching them from all angles. This time we've got them.
I think you're right, Thomas, but here's the interesting thing that I think they did not bank on. They believed that they had full-spectrum dominance, meaning that they were in charge of the press organs, they were in charge of military. In other words, there was not a single problem that they foresaw that they couldn't handle. They were wrong about that. But, you know, they're still trying to go back and re-engineer their control by making it illegal to do certain things. In other words, they're talking about this Internet, too. And they're talking about this hate crimes bill where if I start talking about Zionism, I'm going to be considered a criminal. And you're probably aware that Diadote here in France, that the French want to make it illegal to talk about Zionism. And not talk about Jews or Judaism, but Zionism itself, the political movement, as being anti-Semitic. What do you think of that?
Well, this is the strange thing. I mean, we're talking about people, let's say the leadership in Israel has never been Semitic. I mean, you don't get any Sephardi people high up in the cabinet.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
Although Thomas, I must challenge one element of that. Many of the richest Jews working out of the city of London have their roots, and I'm going to be bringing up a guy named Ken Parmitan in a few days. Their roots in William of Orange's assault on Britain, as well as Cromwell, and they were Sephardi, and they had left with their wealth from Spain into Holland, and from Holland into England, and so the Sephardic are also involved, but they're involved at a level above the Ashkenazi.
Yep, but I have noticed that they haven't made Aliyah, and they're not living in Israel. They're living in London and in Holland and everywhere else.
That's right. Because sometimes I wonder, is this really about religion, or is it about world dominance and subjugation of the populace and impossibly even eugenics? A murder spree on the populations, because as we have seen in their past actions, they're always trying to go for largest number of deaths as possible. I mean, if you look at the Ukraine, if you look at World War II, World War I, they're always looking for to decimate whole populations. And even with this recent hoax of AIDS and how they've used that to kill off millions. My point is that they're always looking for to eugenics activities and decreased numbers.
I mean, they have levels of evil. I can't keep up with them.
Do you think that's why people turn away from this? It's just beyond their ability to I mean, a human being that looks at this, first thing you say, when I first started looking into this, I said to myself, nobody is this cruel. Nobody is this monstrous. I looked at it and I was in complete disbelief, Thomas. What has happened since I've become aware of the full conspiracy, I find out that they're psychopaths, in my view, and that they have no empathy or sympathy for others. And being psychopathic, a murder to them is no more complex to them than scratching their head, in my view.
I talked to a guy who worked in Swedish intelligence all his life, all right? He's newly retired. I talked to him last Friday. And every now and then when I meet him, I mention this particular topic. And this guy, even with his background, either he's in denial or he knows and he's lying to me. He won't go near it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, is he afraid? Is he afraid? Is he afraid like many of the Congress people are afraid? Is he afraid to run up against this crime network and afraid what they might do to him or his family?
Well, maybe he's afraid even that his own government here is run by these people. And this changes his whole concept of what he was doing when he was with the intelligence service.
Well, you know as well as I do when people are brought into the intelligence services from schools like Yale and Harvard and Princeton, and many of them have English background or foreign language backgrounds, when they're brought into these services, they are compartmentalized. They're not told who they're going to really work for. They're told that they're, you know, they're given the patriotic spiel, and then they're sent on their way. And, of course, over time, they pick up dribs and drabs of the truth, but the whole story never is part of their lexicon. And as a result, they believe they're acting in the best interest of their country. And you know what else it does for them? It makes them think, Thomas, that because they're insiders, that they could not have possibly been duped like that. You know, look, I was in with the such-and-such intelligence group. There's no way I wouldn't have known that, you see.
I did some defense committee studies here and so forth, and I was writing reports that nobody ever read.
Well, we know that we have a family up in Sweden, and I don't want to put you on the spot, but the Bonnier family, owning the press and one of the richest families in Scandinavia, but we also find that same family, Jewish family, is also the head of the Catholic Church from the same family. Now, one wonders how a single family could control the economy, could control the newspapers, and control the faith side of things. It's astonishing that such a small country could have such powerful forces at work in it.
Yeah, I have lived here a long time. I don't understand how and if even this country functions. This place is beyond me.
Well, what was the ties that you've discovered, Thomas, with? Because Sweden was actually used by the Nazis as a safe haven, much like Switzerland was for some of their activities. And it's interesting. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. During World War II, for example, Sweden was in need of coal for energy, and Germany was in need of steel and ammunition. So they make great trades there. Plus, don't forget, I mean, like Sweden is the home of eugenics with the Mir dolls.
That's right.
All right? Anybody who did not quite reach up to the Nordic standard of quality, people were forcibly sterilized here in the 30s and 40s.
Yep, yep. Well, so, and so we don't, you know, those ideologies, while they might crawl back under rocks, they don't disappear.
And I can tell you that in this municipality where I live, there were more card-carrying Nazi Party members than there were in Berlin, because the Berliners were too smart. They never voted for Hitler. Hitler hated the Berliners.
Hmm. Well, you also look, you know, and I've gotten a couple of recent emails saying, well, you know, there's no proof that Adolf Hitler had any ties to Jewish financiers and the rest. And when you take a look at the most important business in Germany that helped him build his war machine, I.B. Farben, when I.B. Farben's board of directors and financing is examined, it's all in the hands of Jewish financiers. So they were not different than than what they did with Napoleon, backing Wellington's army and backing Napoleon's army and selling armaments to both sides. And they've always been involved in both sides of these conflicts of financing and making money on war and also getting their population reductions, which has also been part of their ideology from the beginning. But now it's actually taken on a more sinister look when we're talking about cultural destruction, Thomas. We've seen the destruction of individual nations' cultures. They're doing it in France here. I mean, they're trying to make it illegal to have natural cheeses made here in France, or you can't buy chickens from your neighbor anymore. So they're destroying the countryside's way of life, and it's all being done by design, not by accident. This stuff has been thought through.
Let me just get back to A.G. Farber there. For all of the bombing raids over Germany in World War II, they never bombed that factory.
That's right. And they never bombed the Warburg mansion in Hamburg either. And Mr. Warburg was able to stay there till 1944, unscathed. And we also know
Warburg, have you ever thought that Warburg is the daddy war bucks, that's a war dollars, in the Orphan Annie cartoons?
Exactly right. And in fact, that's probably true. And interesting, when you take a look at Warburg money today, it's held in trust. So when you examine, it's the same thing as Rothschild fortune. As individuals, they could say, oh, I only have 60 million or 80 million. When you start looking at the trust's accounts that they hold, which doesn't show up in their personal names but is under their control, it heads into the trillions of dollars, not the millions, not the billions, trillions. And you see these umbrella trusts that have been set up worldwide, including Ford, Carnegie, the Mellons. It's astonishing how much has been placed under these controls. And you know, back in the war, they were doing business deals with American companies like DuPont. The Ford Motor Company was doing direct deals with the Nazis as well. This was all about deceiving the public, getting them to go kill off their youngest and brightest, and making money. And it worked. And their political expediency in getting rank-and-file Jews to leave Northern Europe and go to another group's country, Palestine, and eject the native population, much like they did with the American Indians, if you want to know the truth. And we've talked about this before, you and I, Thomas.
Oh, yeah, it's following the same program.
You know, I wonder when enough is going to be enough for the general population. We've often discussed privately that looking at the waking up process is frustrating for people like myself and you because it's taking so darn long. And, you know, you've been a long time.
You're starting to see more and more in general conversation and so forth, people are starting to bring up this aspect of it all. Slowly people are beginning to wake up. And then, fortunately, we won't have people like the guy who I talked to on Friday who are in denial, who are willing to accept the truth and then to do something about it.
Well, do you think people are going to be willing to stand up? Because I have to say, as the thumb screws get tightened and people's lives become disrupted even further, I mean, I'm talking about displaced from their homes, unemployed throughout their families, trouble getting a good meal in their bellies, I'm wondering what people are going to want to do about the masses of hungry and displaced and dispossessed. I mean, are we going to become angry at the poverty we see around us, which is what often happens? It happened in the 30s, Thomas, that communities across America, instead of opening their hearts and their hands to a lot of these poverty-stricken homeless people, these hobos, if you will, vagabonds, they rejected them. They turned on them. They sent their police departments out after them. They became vicious in the protection of their little communities and didn't have open hearts, not Christian or religious or gentle in any way.
Yeah, I see a lot of that. Sometimes you run into a homeless person, you know, who's asking for some change or something, and you can see people treat them as dirt, forgetting that. Well, I look at it when you meet somebody like that. In Christian terms, then you're meeting Christ there. I'm thinking of Matthew 25, where he says, "You'll come to paradise with me because you saw me and I was hungry, and you saw me and I was naked, and you saw me when I was thirsty, and you gave to me, and so forth."
Well, but you know, Thomas, one of the great things about the joining up between Christianity and Islam and many of these in our minds and our hearts here is because both of these great religions have a generosity to them. They talk about a duty to be generous. And if
Let me go back to 9/11. In those days, I had Iranian neighbors, all right?
Yep.
And they came over and they sat with me and they gave me sweetmeats and they were smart enough not to ask me to talk about anything because I had really had that lump in my throat. But the only people in my vicinity here, and here were about 160 families, were these Iranian Muslims who came over and you know, did what they could for me anyway.
Well, you know, being here in France, and my first area that I lived in here in the nation of France was a community outside of Lyon, and it was predominantly an Islamic community. And, of course, my wife and I, neither of us are from Islam, nor are we ethnically from that community. And yet we were guarded by the residents and made sure that we were safe. And during all of the holidays, the high holidays of the Muslim calendar, we were treated to great cookies and delicious things. And I mean, I got to tell you something. There was always a knock at the door, and it was always coming from a family with large numbers of children.
Yeah.
You see,
yeah.
The generosity, and these were not wealthy people. They were just generous. You see, and
this business about a lot of children. People say, oh, they want to, you know, secure their old age. No, it's just that they love children because they love life.
That's right. And children are life.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Thomas, you know something? Putting these shows together, doing this kind of work, I spend an inordinate amount of time looking at painful things, horrible things. And it's going on, six years now. I've placed my eyes on some of the most terrible events, I think, in human history. It wears you. However, without good people around me, there's no possible way I could do this. There's just absolutely no way. My heart would have broken years ago, and I would have never been able to stand strong against this without the help of kind people around me. It's just impossible.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you know something else, though? I got to be honest. The support that I need to make this message go global has also been held back from me. Now, why that is, I don't know. Because resources are important to getting this to grow. And you know, Thomas, from knowing me as long as you have, I put those resources to work. I try my best to make them, leverage them the best I can. To make them work. And see, you know, we're up against multi-billion-dollar Zionist-controlled organs of power, and in order for me to get this little voice out there, I got to have assistance. You see, and you've always recognized that, and I've got to be grateful to you for that. It's a tough one. I don't know what to tell everybody out there except that this is not only winnable; it's winnable within this foreseeable future. If we come together, Thomas, and I think we are. I think we are.
I wouldn't be involved in this if I didn't think we could win. You know, I would have given up ages ago and, I don't know, gone into a monastery or something. But I'm sticking here and I'm fighting with you. I'm right by your side. I'm not behind you. I'm by your side.
Well, but, Thomas, you know, one last thing I want to talk about, and I want to bring this up because you have looked into the issue. This vote coming up in Ireland... Very important vote. For the South African listeners, what you need to understand is that this crime network is trying to unify Europe behind their banner. They're trying to place a super state European Union under the control of Zionist money and social interests. And Ireland stands in their way because their constitution, their very unfair constitution, that they have railroaded through most of the societies of Europe, is in the balance in Ireland. And I think it's important to bring up right now, especially since part of your heritage is from the Irish community, to talk a little bit, maybe, if you will, before you go here, about what you think's going on in Ireland and what we could all do to help.
Well, I think that in recent months they have purposely done what they could to destroy the Irish economy, to make people think that they're... Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Can you... Okay.
I'm here, Thomas.
I think they have purposely destroyed the Irish economy to make people think that their only salvation is by voting yes for this terrible constitution, which takes away all of their God-given inalienable rights. And I only hope that the Irish people are smart enough to see through this and will vote no. Here in this country, in Sweden, the government just went and voted, oh, yeah, we're all for it, you know.
Well, Thomas, thank you very much for your time here. I got another caller on the line here, and I'm going to bring them up. But I'm very grateful to have had this time with you, my friend.
Okay, it was good to talk to you. Thanks a lot for these minutes here. And, yeah, we'll be in touch.
Thanks, Thomas.
Okay.
I'll be talking to you soon, my friend. Ladies and gentlemen, my friend from Sweden. Yes.
Keep safe. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Thomas. Bye-bye. We have a caller on. Who am I speaking to? Is there someone else on the line? Nope. They hung up on me. Oh, boy. Well, I just got rid of Thomas to hear a busy signal. That's okay. Ladies and gentlemen, you know, the phone lines are open. We still have about 20 minutes left till the end of the program. Yeah, the person who just dropped off, if they wish to call and ask their question, they're more than welcome to. We've brought up so many subjects tonight, from the beginning with Cynthia McKinney all the way till now. All of them are open to discussion or even new ones. You know, getting on the air with all of you and talking about these events weekly and trying to give hope as well as urgency to everyone is a difficult task. But to shrink from it would mean defeat. And so, of course, people like Thomas and people like Aisha and so many, I want you all to feel emboldened by my the way I feel. You see, I think we're winning. And in fact, I know we are. And this is why they're so desperately trying to silence people, even based on the discussing political ideology of Zionism. They want us to make that a hate crime. You know, that would be like talking about the mafia and making that discussion criminal. Of course, the mafia is not Italian. The mafia, the La Cosa Nostra, is Italian, but not all Italians are in the mafia. And if we were to start talking about the mafia and the government actually made it illegal to do so, how would everybody feel? Well, that very same, not similar, that very same kind of law is attempting to be passed right now here in France. They're attempting to make it illegal to discuss the crimes of Zionism. And because they're saying it's anti-Semitic. No, it's not. In fact, I don't see any group out there more anti-Semitic than the Zionists themselves. Yeah. It's amazing. They use doublespeak and their influence in governments to rewrite thinking. Oh, boy. Well, some other things going on here. I got some things in front of me I wanted to talk about. I brought these up with Cynthia McKinney, but I think it's important to revisit them. One of the things that we can talk about here is this Chertoff and Dov Zollkeim. What you don't know about Dov Zollkeim, running the Pentagon's budget office, and then also a principal in a company that was building remote control systems for aircraft. He was in place during the 9/11 attacks, and also responsible for the disappearance of 2.3 trillion American tax dollars. And they don't know where it went. Well, people believe they were brought to Israel and put into the Israeli coffers. We have another Zionist named Michael Chertoff, who was Attorney General of the United States. And then he became head of Homeland Security, which he brought in Zionist Jews from Eastern Europe, including Stasi trained spies to train the American Homeland Security people on how to spy on their own public. A man named Marcus Wolf and a Russian KGB agent, also Zionist Jewish, named Yevgeny Primakov. Now, that was all under Chertoff, and Chertoff, of course, is a name people have heard of. And another one now, Richard Perle. helped write the PNAC documents, Project for a New American Century, which was a Zionist-controlled document, also put out there and pushed forward by people like Lehrman, and, in fact, connections to the politician Ron Paul, if you will examine the Mr. Lehrman's connections, who was one of the founding members of PNAC. So a lot of people put faith in Ron Paul. The fact that he goes on air with Alex Jones, is promoted by Alex Jones, tells me that this man is never going to amount to a hill of beans and never has, and I have never varied from that opinion. We've got people like Paul Wolfowitz, who took over the Defense Policy Board at the Pentagon, but he also became the head of the World Bank. And now you have another Zionist Jew named Zolik in charge of that. We have a man named Dominique Strauss-Kahn, another Zionist Jew from France, in charge of the IMF. Douglas Faith, another Zionist in charge of the Pentagon's War Department, and created what they call the Office of Special Plans. I have files on the on my site from a Air Force officer who discusses quite freely the things she witnessed within the Pentagon that the Israelis were involved in. Elliot Abrams, key National Security Council advisor, a man associated with JINSA, with also PNAC. He was convicted, this man, of lying to Congress. Worked with Bill Kristol and Wolfowitz, Faith, and Pearl. A man named Mark Grossman, Undersecretary for Political Affairs on 9/11. He also was a General Mohammed Ahmed, head of Pakistan's ISI, and a 9/11 financier shortly after the 9/11, and he is a dual citizen Israeli. Ari Fleischer, a Lubavitch rabbi, Shabbat Lubavitch, the Lubavitch. You'll remember them from the bombing in Mumbai, where they set up the Mossad's military station and had all of their armaments and guns and everything ready to attack that hotel. What you don't know is that 3 days before the attack, none other than Heinz Henry Kissinger was in that very same hotel putting the final touches to the plan. Then we've got Israelis caught creating fake al-Qaeda. Now, interesting that some of them were arrested. Three of them, in fact, they were trying to get easy to dupe low-level people within Palestine to join up with these al-Qaeda group, but they were caught, arrested, and it was a fake terrorist cell in Gaza. Excuse me, in Gaza. Then we have this one. Here's one that's really going to blow your mind. Adam Gadan is an American al-Qaeda. He is a spokesman who released videos of himself preaching al-Qaeda goals and ideology on several occasions. And the FBI gave him the FBI's most wanted terrorist. And he turned out to be a person named Adam Perlman. From Los Angeles, he grew a beard, put a turban on his head, and began speaking about al-Qaeda. And his grandfather, Carl Perlman, was a prominent surgeon and on the board of directors of the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith, one of the most powerful Jewish organizations in America. So, all of these things, ladies and gentlemen, can you believe these are not my musings? They are facts. This is why I tell you that if you look at any of this information for any length of time, the only conclusion is that the Mossad, the Israelis, and the CIA, under the control of these Zionists, perpetrated 9/11, had false information given to the American public to get them to go to war against the Iraqi people, have been lied to and lying for these criminals to get America to support Israel in their murder and genocide against Palestinians. Their lies and murder spree taking place in Tehran streets as we speak. The same things happening in cities across the Middle East. but also the Afghani murders, one after another. There is absolutely an unbroken chain of criminality that has taken place against this Taliban. And the fact of the matter is, ladies and gentlemen, they vilify a group and then they use it repeatedly over and over. The Taliban, Al-Qaeda. It doesn't matter who they bomb. They could bomb a whole family of children and women. They still say it was Al-Qaeda and the Taliban that they bombed. And you see, when they place these people in these prisons, it gives them the cover of validity. You see, why would there be people in prison, the Americans have people in prison, if there wasn't a conspiracy to hurt America? You see, if they didn't have anybody in prison, everybody would say, wait a minute, there aren't any enemy. Where's the enemy? You don't have any of them. How come we be at war with an enemy that you've never found? Well, they've been taking innocent people right out of their workaday lives, right out of their... Some of them have been sheep herders. Some of them have been, family men, right off their, out of their lives, and put them into terrible prisons, tortured them, injured them, made them give false statements, false confessions, and then used these false confessions to justify the incursions into Afghanistan and into Iraq. And these war crimes, these Geneva war crimes, need to be addressed by the world against the government of the United States, Britain, and Israel. And France, I sadly say, because the French now are full supporters of these actions in the world. They weren't under Mr. Chirac, although he knew about all of this, and his silence is his complicity. There was not full participation until Mr. Sarkozy took over, and now they are actually taking actions with these other governments. Now, every government in the world, and it doesn't matter what part of the world they're from, are complicit in 9/11 when they have not spoken out about who did it. And if we're talking to Kenyan government or South African government or Argentinian government, if they are remaining silent on the crime of 9/11 and on the invasion of Iraq being a lie, then it is clear that they are complicit in the crime. You cannot know about a murderous crime and remain silent and say you're innocent. This is why I've stood up and spoken out so vigorously against this stuff, because for me to be silent means I am part of it. You are either speaking out against it or you are part of it in your silence. There is no middle ground here when it comes to these kinds of acts. Human beings cannot remain silent in the face of these crimes. And I mean that for the Islamic community listening, the Christian community, the Jewish community, the Buddhist community does not. So I'm going to actually call this a program today. It's 5 minutes to the hour. And since we have no further callers, I'm going to allow that this is a file. I've not taken a break, and I've spoken about as long as I can. My future here on CII is not assured, and so I want everybody to not be surprised if I am not on the radio here in the future. You will note that at that point in time, you will understand why I will make a clear statement on my website as to why that has transpired. I hope that we can work out the problems that are facing my broadcast. If not, then we won't be able to. But that being said, ladies and gentlemen, until the next time, take care of your families and be your own best advocate for the truth. Share these facts with everyone.